Thank you, Marcia. If you have your Bibles, will you open them again to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, page 1269, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, page 1269. Would you follow along in your Bibles as I begin reading in verse number 13? But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, a grand reunion. Let's bow in prayer together, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that have been ours in this service today. Now I pray you'll help me to be a blessing with the preaching of your word. I pray you'll give the folks the ears to hear and listen and then apply what they hear. I pray if there's one here that doesn't know Christ as their Lord and Savior, at the invitation they'll come and receive him as their own personal Savior. Bless your word. Pray you empower me to preach it. In Jesus' name, amen. We have just finished celebrating the first coming of Jesus Christ. This morning, I want us to consider his second coming as we look forward to his return. And it could just be this coming year when he returns. We see here in verses 13 through 17 the blessed truth that are a great comfort to those who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So it's just fitting that he ends this portion of Scripture here in verse 18, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. One reason for this comfort is because when the Holy Spirit spoke of death, almost every time he used the word sleep. Sleep is a very peaceful, comforting, sweet word. It's much more a comforting word than the word death is. One day, the alarm is going to go off. It'll be the trump of God. And those whose bodies have been asleep in the grave will wake up and get up. Did you know there is a multitude of people who are never, ever going to die? And it just could be us? None of those who are alive when the trump sounds will have to briefly wait until the dead in Christ rise first. We've got to wait just a little bit. The earthly bodies that house the soul and spirit will be turned into resurrected, glorified bodies and will begin their trip to heaven. Then those of us who are alive, could be us, will never die, and we'll have our earthly bodies turned into glorified bodies. We will catch up with those who died in Christ, and together we will travel through space. We'll meet the Lord in the air as he's standing outside the gates of heaven, waiting to welcome us and greet us. And then we will go into the heavenly city. We'll stand before the great God and judge of this universe and at the judgment seat of Christ, where we're all going to have to give an account of the lives that we live following our salvation. And then, oh then, the wedding feast and the glad reunion. And oh my, what a time that reunion is going to be. So the Scriptures tells us not to weep over our loved ones and friends who've gone on ahead of us as those who have no hope. Now, of course, we grieve and we mourn when our loved one dies or a friend dies. That's fine, and we should be able to do that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But what a blessed time it's going to be when we're caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. What a time of reunion that's going to be. So the Scripture says, don't weep as though you don't know you will ever see them again. As a believer in Christ, those who have died in Christ, we know we will see them again. So we're not grieving like other folks that don't know Christ are grieving. I'm sure all of us are waiting and anxious for this to take place. A sleep in Jesus, blessed sleep, from which none ever wake to weep. What a difference it's going to be between those who are asleep in Christ and those who never received him as Lord and Savior. What a difference that's going to be. Those who died without Christ, they'll never know the love and the joy and the happiness and the peace there is in knowing him as Lord and Savior. I think maybe the key verse here in this scripture that I've just read in 1 Thessalonians 4 might be this little phrase in verse 17, caught up together. Aren't these verses such a blessing? What a comfort. We're going to be caught up together. Those who died in Christ and those who are alive in Christ at his coming, we're going to be caught up. I think our closest relationship in heaven will be with those loved ones and friends that we fellowshiped with and knew and loved in this life. And of course, we're going to know each other there. There's no doubt about that. And our relationship and our glorified bodies will be much greater than the relationships we enjoyed in this current life. There'll be no sins to hinder our relationships as we have down here. There'll be no jealousy to hinder our fellowships. Nothing will ever, ever hinder our relationships and our fellowships. Husbands and wives will have a closer relationship than they had on this earth. And the closest relationship between two people on this earth is a husband and a wife. Now, there's not going to be any marriages in heaven, but it's going to be a greater relationship than we have down here. Brothers will know brothers. Down in hell, that rich man knew about his five brothers and was very concerned with them. Turn with me in your Bible to Luke chapter 16, please. And then keep something in Luke throughout the rest of the message. Luke chapter 16, page 1009 in your Scofield Bible. Page 1009, Luke chapter 16. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 27. If you'll follow along, please. Verse number 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that they may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. They got the Old Testament. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, if they don't care what the Old Testament says, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Do you think that we're going to have less knowledge in our new glorified bodies than we had in these earthly bodies? Of course not. In fact, the Bible says, those of us who are believers, that when we are getting our glorified bodies in our glorified mind, we are going to have the mind of Christ. We are one day going to know everything that Christ knows. In heaven, we will certainly know each other. That there can be no doubt. I've heard Dr. John R. Rice speak a number of times in person. He's one of my great mentors. And he has told several times about the death of his mother. She lay dying on her deathbed. Her family was gathered around her bed, and she asked them to sing. And sing they did. They sang, How Firm a Foundation, Ye Saints of the Lord. And when they had finished, she looked up and said, I can see Jesus and my baby now. Then she died. Did she know her baby? She surely did. Did she know Jesus? Of course she did. The first funeral that I ever conducted, well over 500 funerals ago, was Davy Catalan. Davy and I started the first bus route at Faith Baptist Church. And then when we left and started Greenbush, they came and joined with us. Right after that, Davy developed cancer. His wife, Jerry, asked me if I would go out and tell him that he had but just a short time to live. So I drove out to their home in the country. Beautiful family. He was such a young man. And I told him that you've just got a very short time to live. After that, he lay dying in the hospital, and I visited with him often. I was there the day he died. He had not been able to move his body for several days. As I watched him on that day, all of a sudden, he opened up his eyes, he looked up, held up his arms, and sat straight up in bed. Then he lay back down, and he was gone. Did he see some angels coming to escort him to heaven? I think he did, although I didn't see them. I read about an old preacher who lay dying. It's a strange thing, but it illustrates some of the purity and blessings of the heavenly state. He had had a first wife whom he loved so very much. She had borne him several children. Then she died and went on to heaven. Later on, he remarried. Now the old preacher lay dying, and his present wife was there by his side. But he looked up, and on his deathbed, he spoke to his first wife, Mary, Mary. He spoke to that beloved who had gone on ahead. There will be no jealousy in that world. There will be no marriage in that world. I am convinced that all of the sweet ties of love and fellowship and joy we have known down here will never be forgotten, and we're just going to resume it up there, but it's going to be so much better. The Bible often refers to that blessed reunion. Jesus said rather sadly something that I want you to see. Go over to Matthew chapter 8, please, page 1005. Matthew chapter 8, page 1005 in your Scofield Bible. I'm going to read verses 11 and 12. Matthew chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So many have been the children of God, did not become the children of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're going to be left out of heaven. They're going to miss out on that grand reunion. I hope none of you folks are going to miss on that. You don't want to miss that wonderful grand reunion that's coming. One time, Jesus was talking to at a great feast, and he said to the man that gave the dinner, the next time you make a feast, why don't you call in the poor and the lame and the halt and the blind? Why don't you invite people to come to the dinner who can't afford to serve you a big dinner in return? Somebody spoke up and said, oh, how blessed it will be to eat bread in the kingdom of God. People are always asking the question, are we going to eat in heaven? Turn with me to Luke chapter 14, please. Luke 14, page 1096. Luke's Gospel and the 14th chapter, page 1096. And look with me at the last part of verse number 15. Luke chapter 14, verse 15, the last part of that verse. Notice carefully. Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now that word bread means it's going to be a feast like we have never known before at that great reunion day. Now if you think Aunt May's noodles are good, wait till you taste the noodles that the angels are preparing for us. I don't think anybody is going to say when the sugar is passed, no thanks, I can't use that, I'm on a diet, I've got to have sweet and low. No diets again. The Bible teaches we are going to have a feast, and what a feast we shall have. So all of you folks who are going to get involved in this diet going on in church again, and you got to get weighed every Sunday, I want you to know there'll be no scales and you won't get weighed when you get to heaven. People love to get together. We love to get together and eat in fellowship. Pastor Reed used to call the word fellowship bellyship. That's about what it is. We're going to enjoy good food together. It may not be profound conversation, but it'll be very sweet and blessed when we sit down and eat together. People love to do that. Jesus told the story of a man one time that made a great supper, and he invited many to come. He sent his servants to say to them, come, for all things are now ready. I believe those words are about to be said about the coming of Christ. Come, for all things are now ready. Turn with me to the last book of the Bible, the 19th chapter of Revelation, please. Revelation 19, page 1348. Revelation, the 19th chapter, page 1248. Now I'm going to read beginning in verse, that's on page 1348, I'm sorry. 1348, Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Now to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of God. I think there's only two reasons, main reasons, why the Lord has not come and taken us home yet to that grand reunion. And that reason is he's not willing that any should perish. 2 Peter 3:9. God doesn't want anybody to perish and go to hell. He doesn't want that. He did not create hell for people. He created it for the devil and his angels. And he didn't intend for any human being to ever go there. But if you reject Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's where you're going to end up. He's going to gather as many as he can to that wonderful feast. And it's going to be a time of rejoicing and fellowship like we have never known before, with Jesus there and with our loved ones that we are longing to see. When my high school graduated in Lafayette Jefferson High School in 1952, they were going to celebrate their 50th reunion. I had never gone to any of them and wasn't planning on going. But they contacted me and they asked me if I would mind coming and praying at the reunion. And I thought to myself, I'm going to have an opportunity to pray the gospel to my classmates in Jefferson High School. And so I accepted the invitation. And so we went, and I did have prayer. And I preached the gospel in that prayer, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And then after I was finished, there were several that came up to me and said, we want you to know that we had received Christ sometime during their lifetime, which was such a blessing to me. I didn't recognize any of them. Some of them I hadn't seen for over 50 years, and most of them had grown a lot older and did not look like the picture in our yearbook. But I got to admit, neither did I. But one day, when that sad veil is taken away, and we look into the faces of those we long to see and see them so young and healthy, no wrinkles, no baldness, no glasses, no false teeth, no hearing aids, it will be a wonderful reunion to have our youth again. I personally believe the age that we're going to be when we get our glorified bodies will be 33 years of age. You say, well, why do you say that? Because that's the age our Lord died and was resurrected. And the Bible says we're going to be just like him. And scientists have proved now that the age of 33 is the perfect age. Everything in your body is working better at age 33 than at any other age. So to me, it just makes sense that we'll all be 33. Now, don't bank on that. That's just my feelings about it. And whatever age it's going to be, it will be perfect. One day, maybe soon, we will say good night down here and good morning up there. One more verse. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, please. Hebrews chapter 12, page 1303. Hebrews chapter 12, page 1303. And look carefully as I read verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Here the Lord Jesus is looking forward to that wonderful day of reunion. The reason he's looking forward to it, the joy he's talking about in this verse, is the reunion when all God's saints come marching home. This wedding is for God's Son as he prepares to take his bride, the church, all believers in Christ. He will be our one source of happiness and praise and hallelujahs. Yes, we are going to have a wonderful grand reunion one day soon. And I don't know of any verses in the Bible that's more comforting for the believer in Christ to a loved one that's died in Christ than these verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. So I hope that they'll bring comfort to you as through these scriptures this morning and through the message. The question that I must close with is, have you ever received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you haven't, you're not going to be at this great reunion that's coming up any time now. So don't take a chance. What's keeping you from Christ? What is keeping you from receiving Him as your own personal Lord and Savior? Whatever it is, it's not worth it. If you make that decision for Christ, I promise you, you will never, ever, ever regret it. Take care of it today, because today is the day of salvation. You may not have another day to live to make that decision. I'm going to be doing another funeral this coming week. Had 13 this past year. Going to be coming and doing another one this coming week of a young 37-year-old man that's been married just 2 months. And he went to be, I don't know if he went to be with the Lord or not, and nobody knows if he's saved or not. But I hope he was. If not, he's in hell with the devil. And that's a sad thing, because he could have had opportunity. Everybody's got an opportunity to be saved. Don't pass it up. Don't pass it up. Let's bow in prayer together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for the great future we're looking forward to. We're looking forward to that grand reunion when we're all going to get together and have a feast, see our Lord, be reunited with our loved ones and friends who's gone on ahead of us. We long for that day, and we pray that it might be soon. And Lord, again, I would ask that you'd not let anyone leave this building this morning without their knowing for sure that they've accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. I pray that you won't let them rest until they make that decision. Ask you to bless the invitation now, as only you can do, and help folks make decisions this morning that they'll be glad 100 years from now that they've made. In Jesus' name, amen.